Metaphysical Webinar Series. Your hosts for the show are Reverend Lynn Williams and Reverend Cindy Paulus.
We take this time to produce and to create this time of pure energy of love flowing through us. The season of light is particularly strong right now, so if we take our time to focus on drawing that light in through our bodies, projecting it out into the world through our hearts, we intensify it, we help it to spread, to transform, and to soothe and heal. In celebrating the season of light, we say, in times of darkness, I remember that there is a birth of love and light. I embrace the spirit of the holy days and the joy the celebrations bring. I realize the symbols used at Christmas each hold a deeper mystical meaning that I can share and embody. I recognize that many celebrate this time of year in different ways, and I honor how we each have our own path to the light to follow. I learn by keeping an open mind and seeing the opportunity for learning every day. I focus on the true meaning of Christmas and let that light, that Christmas Christ light, be born in me. I see opportunities to focus on the spiritual element of the holidays, and I decide how I wish to buy gifts, and I do it within my budget, stating that it is so. And I am blessed to be able to choose this way, to choose the way I believe, and I accept others who may not share my views. I realize that at this time of year, many are open to sharing kindness and goodwill, so I joyfully embrace those values. I always remember to live with the true meaning of Christmas in my heart. Thank you, Mother, Father, God, for all of these blessings and for those you already have in store for me. I accept them with love and appreciation, and so it is.
And so it is. There's a lot of magic in the air tonight at around 2 my time, because I'm Melissa, you're in Hawaiian time too. There's a super moon. This is a trilogy of supermoons, and that have been going on. The largest supermoon was back in May, but there will be one happening with the perigee in on Monday. So, as Reverend Lynn was saying, this energy of the supermoon intensifies, along with this very special time of year, all the energies that are out there. And I find for myself that my meditations and my dreams and my prayers are intensified as well. So let's keep that in mind as we join together at this sacred time of year to do a special meditation. Let's just all breathe in the light, because we are getting close to the shortest days and the longest nights. So let's bring in light, 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 more light. Let's breathe into that light. Let's join with every single soul and spirit here in the circle and become one in the energy of each of us, respecting, honoring, and learning and sharing each of our value as pilgrims on the path. We hold the focus. We raise our light to the highest light, and we ask that that point of light within the mind of God come to us now. And we bring that light through our crown chakra and to the very, very core of our being. Breathe that in. Let that be absorbed. Let that light reach every single cell in our body, mind, and emotions. And if there's any darkness that needs to be released, breathe in deeply, breathe that light in, and release, release, release. Again, breathe in together. Let's breathe into the count of 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And hold and release. As we breathe out, we are transforming and renewing our body and our mind and our spirit together here. We now go into our heart chakra, and we awaken the center of God's love within. We light that Yule log within our heart, that spark's there, going to be lit. And we feed that spark of light in that sacred heart center, and let that heart be burning with love, a sacred love, the Christ love, the love of all creation is present right now in an infinite light and love that lifts us up beyond the physical to the highest dimensions. This light that leads us out of the world of darkness into the inner light of God and the Christ consciousness. We let that light, that universal infinite light, ignite the holy presence inside. And we turn our will over to God's will. We surrender to God and let God be in control. We let love now fill our soul. This love is the love that is alive and a work in each of us right now in our life. And we remember we can commune with that presence and the Master. And we can ask right now to merge with God's pure infinite energy, the source of all light. And we can talk always to God heart to heart. We are God's. We have that energy of God in our heart. We feel it now. We recognize our relationship, that mystical bond that leads us out of conflict and strife, from darkness to light, and from death to immortality. We are worthy to be that love. We are worthy to let that Christ be born in each of us. That Christ consciousness is alive through you, and you are brought to the Holy Spirit's presence and light. We let that light and love guide us. We breathe this in now. We feel it. We are present with it. And we absorb it into every single part of our being. And now we're slowly coming out of our meditation, and we're aware of how this energy feels. And we let that transformation of energy renew and restore and bring us all the energy that is good and holy. We thank God and let it be so, and so it is. Thank you, God. I'm going to be moving into a little prayer I wrote. Lord, on these holy days, let us find a way to bring more peace to humankind. Let us remember to light a candle each day and for us to take the time to pray for the world and the people everywhere, to help others in need and live as you would have us be, with kindness, forgiveness, and faith, so that we can make this world a better place. So I am going to ask Reverend Lynn to switch screens if possible so we can go into some of these Christmas traditions. I've been looking into it. I've Googled lots of places today and this week, and I am amazed at some of the ways that Christmas is celebrated. And of course, it's not called Christmas all around the world. There's more than 2 billion people in more than 160 countries, however, that consider Christmas to be the most important holiday of the year. And this was interesting for me. In the United States, 9 in 10 people celebrate the holiday, even if they're not Christian. About a third of the people in the USA view it as a cultural holiday rather than a religious one. Now, maybe this is because we like to celebrate, and of course, there's all the commercial aspects that come with it. But there are some important spiritual aspects we'll talk about as well, and why so many religions have it coinciding on this day, you know, in this month, and they all celebrate this month. So some of the things that are celebrated are goodwill towards men, and that's very, very important. Peace, forgiveness, faith, which we talked about. We like to get together, and of course, if you've seen and go to church, many people only go to church on Christmas or Easter. Those are the days that have a lot of ones that people go, okay, I want to go, and for a lot of reason, you know, it's a nice, beautiful way to commune and celebrate at Christmas time. But I looked at a lot of sites, interfaith marriages, I found out, have really made a huge difference. In the ways that people celebrate. Many people are Christians and they're married to Jewish people, or there are Christians married to Islamic people, or there's Buddhists. Many Buddhists are married to Christians. And so when you have different faiths and different families, it really does affect the way people celebrate together. I learned a little bit more about Zoroastrians, which is a very interesting, one of the oldest religions in the world. But what I have here is five reasons why it's important for us to know about various celebrations. Now, as ministers, metaphysical ministers, we can hold ceremonies. As I just said, churches have more people that go to church on Christmas than any other day. So you don't have to have a church to have a Christmas ceremony. You can easily probably get some hall. You can get some place. You can do it in your own living room. Decorate your house nicely and invite people over. You might even want to do that on the day of the winter solstice, which is where all religions usually celebrate something special. So,
remember, there are also some churches that, especially those that have like, they're large enough to have those reception rooms and things like that. Sometimes you can rent time from their places too. If you want to hold a service, they'll let you rent a room. You know, if you want to have a small service or something, you can do that. And as a metaphysical minister with your credentials, it automatically establishes you as someone that they can trust. So just, you know, be creative, and especially this time of the year, those organizations are also looking for ways to bring in extra money, and so this is one way you can do it.
Absolutely true, and it's a time that everyone enjoys, and you know what, you'll meet a lot of people, you get closer to people if you have it with friends. It's a great way of really just joining together in spirit, and there's a reason that it was said in the Bible, where two or more are gathered, there I am. There is a power, and that's why I love these Saturday mornings, because we have, 10 people here? How many people here today, about? 10 or 12 people?
There's 8 right now, but...
and you and me, so 10 people, and we're gathered here.
Yeah, we had quite a few registrations. The thing is, most people listen to the replay anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, so but that's part of our way of celebrating, right? Is here, and you can do the same thing. Maybe you have people that you want to do a little Google Hangout with. That's another way you could do a ceremony.
Oh, absolutely.
People all around the world, right?
Yeah, don't forget your tools. And one of the most important tools that you have to use is called Facebook Live.
Yes,
you can
true.
Do a video on Facebook with your cell phone or with your home computer sitting in front of your desk, or in a very nice, maybe you have a sanctuary room or a place you want to broadcast from. You can do that and do it on a webinar, and or not a webinar, but a Facebook Live. And Facebook gives priority video showing to anything that you do on their site. So your video would be shown not only to your friends, but, you know, in a way, Facebook gives you a lot of free advertising, too, because that thing could pop up anywhere, you know, being shown to friends of friends. So use your tools, especially your free ones.
And if, you know, again, here we'll be going down all the ways it's celebrated around the world. But there's certainly, you know, more than one ceremony you can do if you find this. You want to do a practice one, and then you can do your winter solstice ceremony. And I find a lot of people here on the islands really like the winter solstice ceremony. Solstice ceremonies have become more and more popular. So you can do that and then do maybe a Christmas Eve or another one. Also, we can honor other religions. This is a time we have to remember. I know I talk about Christ. I'm a Christian, but I'm also a Buddhist, and I have the deep roots of metaphysics because I've been doing it all my life, and I don't want anyone to forget that we honor all religions. We don't say our way is the only way in metaphysics. We can believe our way is whatever way we want it to be, but we also honor others and other religions. That's part of the reason we're doing today, because just to extend that so that we know, and maybe even on Facebook you want to honor someone at Hanukkah, or maybe you want to put something out. Maybe people didn't know about some of these celebrations we're going to be talking about. And by putting it out there on your Facebook site or other places, you're opening the door to people realizing, wow, there are a lot of ways we all celebrate this month. We show our support of all faiths, And we can be aware of the energy in prayer on these holidays. Just like I was saying, where two or more are gathered, there is the spirit. And it's true. This month is very powerful because people are celebrating all around the world. And when people are praying and celebrating and calling in the light, it changes the energy of the earth. And so we can be aware of that, especially at times like, excuse me, the full moon. And of course, we support diversity. I hope we all support diversity. And this is become a big issue in this particular time, but I'm not going to go there.
Yeah,
but we do
right.
support we do support diversity. And it's through diversity we realize that we are all one. We may look different. We may speak differently. We may, some of us have a lot of money. Some might have no money. But in spirit, we are all one. And this is part of the basic principles that really we grow by. So here's a list of some of the celebrations that happen. The Advent feast already began in the Orthodox Christian. The Advent time's interesting. I mean, I have a Jackie Lawson. You mail out cards, and she has an Advent calendar you can send out. In the Advent's interesting. The fasting starts midway through the month, and I didn't really realize that. The holiday celebrated by believers lighting Advent candles, hanging wreaths, and attending church ceremonies. And that was something I learned. Now, here's something you may not know about. And I think you might, Melissa. In Hawaii, I was really surprised a long time ago to realize that there's a wonderful season that happens right around Thanksgiving. It's called the Makahiki season. And it's celebrated from November all the way through to February or March. This goes way, way back, and it honors the god Lono in the Hawaiian religion. It's a holiday covering four consecutive lunar months, and its focus is the celebration of the bounty of the land, of course, which also ties in with Thanksgiving, right? But in antiquity, it happened, and they practiced sports, feasting, dancing, and renewing communal bonds. Now, this is the one I like the most, though. This was a time where the focus was not on war. You were not allowed to fight. And I'll tell you, some of the Hawaiians were pretty big warriors, and there was a lot of fighting that went on.
Yeah,
but
that
during
was
Maki,
before Kamehameha united the island. So it's interesting, though, that they had to say, no fighting during the holidays. It's like, oh, God.
No fighting. You have to wait till February or March. Watch
yeah,
out.
Don't kill each other while we're celebrating.
But I like this. This is the season warfare was forbidden, and it was used as a time. Well, they actually would do your crops. They would fix the nets because the nets were so important to fishing here on the island. This would be a time you get together with family, and it makes sense. You know, it's the shortest time of year. It's darker. You don't have as much time, you know. So you do your repairing and get ready for the longer hours. So I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Makahiki. But that's an interesting tradition. It is celebrated to a degree here still. And November 30th to December 1st in the Islam tradition is the, and I don't, please forgive me if I mispronounce this, Maulid al-Nabi. It's an Islamic holiday that honors the birth of the Prophet Muhammad, who founded Islam. Shia and Sunni believers will celebrate on separate days by reading the Prophet's teaching according to the interfaith calendar. And December 5th, which is coming up on Tuesday, big day, this is the feast of St. Nicholas. Of course, you know, some of you, if you're European, might, well, you probably remember the song, Good St. Good was it? St. Wenceslaus was part of this. St. Nicholas is what we derive, what a lot of people think Santa Claus came from, right? And it's celebrated still in some parts of Europe on December 6th. And in alpine countries like Switzerland. And they still have those people that dress up in costumes. St. Nicholas has a devilish companion named Krampus who punishes the bad children the night before. Right? Okay, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you've been good and bad, right? Krampus. The holiday honors the birth of St. Nicholas, the saint who serves as a role model for gift giving and is commonly known as Santa Claus according to the interfaith calendar. December 8th, a big day, it's a Buddhist tradition. It's an interesting holiday that actually brings about the celebration of the enlightenment of Buddha. And it's celebrated through meditation. Actually, at the Zen center I belonged to for years in Sonoma Mountain, they stay up all night. They literally have a meditation that goes all night long, and then at 4 or 5 in the morning you go out to a special site, and they wait till the morning star comes up, because as we all know, Buddha sat under the Bodhi tree and he waited and wanted to be enlightened, and he was enlightened when he saw the morning star. The Rohatsu is a way of the Zen celebration as well, and it's a time, it's pravita, they say sesshin here. Sesshin is meditation. Sesshin is when you sit, a lot of times quiet, silent meditation. So again, yeah, Zen's a little different, and it's celebrated, I find, in different places in Japan, in Vietnam, but it is an interesting time and a powerful time. A studying of the Dharma and the Buddhists. So if you practice the Buddhist tradition, you might remember this. Some Buddhists celebrate with a traditional meal of tea, cake, and readings. So that's that one. Also on December 8th is the Immaculate Conception in the Catholic tradition. This leads up to Jesus' birthday celebration on Christmas. Catholics celebrate the day of Immaculate Conception to honor Mother Mary. And then December 12th through the 20th is Hanukkah. I think it's a fascinating tradition, and I think many of you might know that Hanukkah is a Jewish festival of lights. I love that, you know. There are deeper traditions in the Jewish tradition that go very, very deep into symbology that are very, very mystical. But 8 candles are lit, and it does change times. It's not one date, which is interesting to me. It's also known as the Feast of Lights and the Feast of Dedication. And it's observed by the kindling of lights by a candelabrum. I'm sure many of you have seen the 9-branched menorah. I was raised in Beverly Hills schools, and everyone, it was like 5% were Christian, everyone else was Jewish. So this was a big deal when I went to school. And the menorah consisted of 8 branches with an additional separate branch. The extra light with which others are lit is called the shamash, and it's given a distinct location. It's, I think, very symbolically interesting. Maybe many of you here have heard about the different festivities based on foods like the Dreidelland, which is donuts and also latkes that go on with the celebration of Hanukkah. And then on the 12th is the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe. I mean, I wonder if you know about this, Joe. It's a big, big Catholic, mainly celebrated by Mexicans and American Mexican. And it's the honoring of the Feast of Guadalupe honors the Virgin Mary in Mexico City. And that's a lot of people like to celebrate that beautiful and rather mystical experience of a man who went out and went up to the mountaintop and was honored by the mother. And he wasn't... believed at first, but then he went back and he had this cape that he had, and imprinted in the cape was the image of Mother Mary and roses, and they have honored the cape, and many miracles have happened around the cape, and they still show it at many. There's was one main church in Mexico, probably you might, someone here might know it. Santa Lucia Day, well, I'm Lucinda, so that's kind of my name day. That's on December 13th. Los Posadas. Begins December 16th and runs to the 24th. It's celebrated by Latinos and Spaniards to reenact Mary and Joseph's journey. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I've heard of Los Posadas, but I didn't know it was to celebrate the journey of Mary and Jesus into Bethlehem. And then the big one, the winter solstice. This goes in very, very deep into our roots. And part of the reason, really, for the whole celebration. We get to the shortest day and the longest night of the year here in our northern hemisphere. We can't forget, as Reverend Lynn reminded me, of course, in Australia and other places, that's not true. But ancient people believed that the sun was a god, and winter came every year because the sun god had become sick and weak. They celebrated the solstice because it meant at last the sun god would begin to get well. Every green bough is reminding that all green plants would grow again when the sun god was strong and summer would return. Now, I didn't know about this until this week. Ancient Egyptians worshipped, of course, a god called Ra, which I knew. He had the head of the hawk and wore a blazing sun disk on the top of his hawk head. I have a lovely statue I got in Egypt that I loved from that. But at the solstice, when Ra began to recover from illness, the Egyptians filled their homes with green palm rushes, which symbolized for them the triumphant life over death. And the early Romans marked the solstice with a feast called Saturnalia, in honor of Saturn, the god of agriculture. The Romans knew that the solstice meant that soon farms and orchards would be green and fruitful. And to mark that occasion, they honored their homes with evergreen boughs. And if you put any pine trees or boughs around your mantels or around your house, well, that's where that came from. In Northern Europe, the mysterious Druids, who some of them still exist, by the way. I was in Ireland and I love the Druids. They're the priests of the ancient Celts, decorated their temples with evergreen boughs as a symbol of everlasting life. The Vikings in Scandinavia thought evergreens were special plant of the sun god Balder. So, and this is interesting, also on December 21st, the solstice, it's an Iranian festival, which I didn't know about, celebrating the victory of light and goodness over darkness and evil.
Well, that sounds a lot like, the season of light celebration. And it's just, I think basically we all, if you really think about it, it's all the same celebration because, passion is love, it's light. And of course, we have so many different names. But I was thinking about what you said, but I mentioned that in the Southern Hemisphere, it's the opposite of what we're doing here. And I did kind of pull up a little bit of information about that. So even though, and I know we have people who are in the Southern Hemisphere, and while we may be talking about cold and snow and all of those things, they're out going to the beach and having parties, outdoor barbecues. So those are traditions. And I was hoping we would have someone that could talk about that, but they're, what is it, 18 hours ahead of us or 14 hours ahead? So
I don't remember. It could be even
it's a
more.
lot, like if it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon here, it's like 10 o'clock the next morning there. So,
But of
something like
course, we do the barbecues and it's warm also here in
that.
Hawaii,
Well, and I'm going to talk about that.
but
I'm
we're in
going to
the
talk
same
about that.
season.
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm going to talk about because it's not just the differences from, historically and everything. We still have a lot of stuff going on right today. So go ahead, finish, and then I'll just
Well,
talk
this
about
is
that
an
later.
interesting one. Mithra is very much, a lot of people say we took the whole Christian Christmas celebration from Mithra. And this is again the Iranian Persian culture. Mithra was born on dawn on December 22nd to a virgin mother. He symbolizes light, truth, goodness, strength, and friendship. This was the most important holiday of the year for Persians. And they celebrate still by staying up late or all night. And think of the Christian Mass, the Christ Mass on Christmas Eve, right? And they celebrate night gazing. Fruits and nuts are eaten, especially pomegranates, watermelons, whose red color invokes the crimson hues of dawn and symbolize Mithra. And of course, the pagan celebration was believed that the Yule, the lighting of the Yule log, was symbolized by the birth of the sun. Of course, we, and I'm going to go more into this, I have it short here, because we celebrate Christmas December 25th. And this is a, I know, I don't want to, I know some of you still might believe in Santa Claus, but there is no Santa Claus, folks. And Christ wasn't born on Christmas Day, December 25th. I'm sorry, but really, if you're, I'm as mystical as you can come and spiritual, but it was not. If you look at any of the facts, and I did a lot of research, there's no way, if you believe in the Bible, that Christ was born on December 25th, because the shepherds never watched their flocks in December. They did it in spring and fall. And there, if you believe in the Christmas star, there was a huge, powerful Christmas star that starred back there 2,000 years ago that lasted 70 days of light. And that happened in fall. There's many people that believe Christ was born in fall, or I should say Jesus, Christ was born in fall, and some in summer. But obviously, the 25th was chosen because of the traditions that had existed around that time from the pagans and the Romans, and it because of the solstice, because of the dark to light. Of course, the difference here, which we'll go into more, is that in the Christian tradition, it's not an agricultural celebration. It's a spiritual celebration because what happens is this, if you look at the colors red and green, the colors of Christmas, often red and green. Red is what color in our chakras? You all know about that, right? Red is our root chakra. What's our green chakra? That's our heart chakra. If you look at the symbology of the Nativity, by the way, the Nativity probably has the most realistic roots. That was started by St. Francis. Did you know that? But if you look at the Nativity, because, you know, look at the Nativity. He loved his animals, right? And if you look at Nativities, there's all the, you know, the beasts and looking there in the stable. All the research shows that Jesus born, most likely was born in a cave, not a stable. But the idea of the symbology is very, very real. And the symbology is that spirit, the highest spirit, the Christ consciousness, the highest light, the star of the initiate, the five-pointed star is the star of the initiate, came to earth. So we celebrate the spirit coming to man, the beasts of the, shall we call the beings that didn't have the spirit are being brought this spirit and being brought to their souls, being brought to life, being brought to God. And there's a merging of God and man, which is celebrated by Mother Mary. She indeed merged with God, and there was the birth of the Son, Christ. So it's mystically big. We'll go into that a lot more. This is an interesting one. December 26 is the death of the prophet Zarathustra. Zarathustra is a very mystical being. Unlike other holidays in this month, Zoroastrians honor the death of their prophet, Zarathustra, who founded one of the world's oldest monotheistic religions. And then there's the 12 days of Christmas, which is December 25th through January 6th. And the Armenian church and the Catholic Church celebrate the birth and baptism of Christ on the same day. They do not have a series of 12 days between the feast of Christmas and Epiphany. But many people that celebrate the 12 days begin on the 25th and celebrate Epiphany Day, which is January 6th, right? And then we'll go into a couple more. I'm going to let Reverend Lynn talk about Kwanzaa, December 26th to January 1st. And then there's one I didn't know much about, which...
Go ahead, because you've already got it all up and everything.
No, well, I'll let you go into that.
You get through.
The night of the 31st, December 31st, before dawn of January 1st, in the Scottish New Year celebration, the origins is spelled Hogmanay, which is a Gaelic observance, and it includes gift-giving, visiting the homes of friends, neighbors, with special attention to the first guest of the new year. And then I go into, you know, when we don't really know when Jesus was born. Shepherds were not in the fields during December. And this astronomer says that the star of Bethlehem may have been Venus and Jupiter coming together to form a bright light in the sky. This event occurred June 17th in the year 2 BC. Other researchers claim that similar conjunction was held between Saturn and Jupiter in October. And many people who are theologians believe that Jesus was born in the spring. And the bottom line is we don't really know when Jesus was born. But we know that it doesn't really matter because it's a celebration of a mystical celebration, a spiritual celebration, it's a communal celebration, it's darkness to light, and that's what we are celebrating. So I'm going to let you take it away, Lynn, and go a little bit. If you want me to go back to this page here, you can take the screen away.
Okay, yeah, I don't really have a need for the, unless you just want to leave it
no,
up.
No, I don't need it, no.
Them to look at, but. Let's see. Okay, like I said, I don't really have anything to show at this point in time, other than to just kind of continue with what Reverend Cindy was talking about. The only thing I wanted to bring up about Kwanzaa a little bit is because it's probably, I won't say it's probably one of the most misunderstood holidays of this season, but it's not because they're older, more ancient celebrations that we don't know much about. But I will say it's the newest. Okay, it's the newest celebration of the season, and a lot of people misunderstand it in thinking that it was a holiday that was Well, let's put it this way. It was a holiday that was born out of a need for a more personal and spiritual connection of the holiday other than the traditional commercialized Christian traditional practice. It came out of the black African American community at a time when there was really a struggle for identity and a return to things that were natural, teaching values and principles that were enriching and fulfilling and uplifting as well as enlightening. So there was this gentleman by the name of pronouncing his name is always kind of strange. I guess his first name is Malua. I have a hard time with it. Anyway, oh, here it is. Maulana. I knew it was something like that. It's Maulana, M-A-U-L-A, Dr. Maulana Karanga. And he's actually quite the accomplished person. He's not, typically you would think of people of that particular time, because this was back in, oh, I guess it was 30 years ago, something like that. There was a lot of stuff going on back at that time with civil rights and the movement and all these things coming out of the civil rights conflicts, including all the rioting. And a lot of people have forgotten that the very first race riots actually happened in 1965, not 1991. And I noticed with all that we talk about, we don't go back that far. But this particular practice came out of that need for something identifiable that would bring peace and unity and harmony back to our to the race, to the world, really. But it was also designed to bring us out of a place that was so, well, you know, please don't get upset when I say it this way, but it was so whitewashed back at that time. It was very focused on the Santa Claus and the selling, or not selling, but buying, and, you know, the presents and the giving. And so Dr. Karanga decided it's time for us to go back to our roots. And he started this concept of Kwanzaa, which took a while to get going, but now it's a very widely practiced and accepted tradition. But I will say it is not practiced by all Black people. It's not something that everyone embraces. Personally, I'm not a traditional practicer. I don't know that much about Kwanzaa, but I was married to a man for about a decade whose family did celebrate it. So I had a chance to kind of get exposed to it and learn some things about it. And it's a beautiful time. The purpose, the practice, the traditions, the studies, it's a very traditional, very beautiful time of learning in many ways metaphysical principles and how we must live based on these truths. Kwanzaa celebrates seven principles. It was created out of something that they called, this is something new to me, I didn't even know it, but something called Kawaida. I don't want to mispronounce it, something called Kawaida. Kawaida is a, it means tradition and reason, and it's the African philosophical framework that the principles that Kwanzaa is based on. Its philosophy is the communication of African philosophy, which is ongoing as they work to bring it together, to integrate it, to synthesize it in our lives and as well as the world. The whole purpose was to bring peace and change into the world through spiritual celebration. It was created to introduce and reinforce seven basic values of African culture, which contribute to building and reinforcing family, community, and culture among the African American people as well as Africans throughout the world through the World African Community. And this is not just practiced, like I said, by Black people. It's practiced by a lot of people because of the purity of its nature of its intent. These values are called the Nguzu Saba, which is in Swahili means the seven principles. Dr. Karanga decided that this would be the heart of what he would start to build on, and apparently he was practicing truth because it took off. It has also what they do is something very similar to the Jewish practice of Hanukkah, and that is there are candles that are part of the seven-day celebration, seven principles celebrated over 7 days from December 26th to January 1st. There are traditional colors used in the celebrations, red, black, and green. Now, I don't know what the colors really symbolize. I didn't go into that much detail about it, but there are three red candles on the left of this seven-candle holder. I won't call it a menorah because that's not what they call it, but it's a candle holder that holds seven candles, three red on the left, three green on the right, and a black candle sitting in the middle, which is slightly elevated from the others. This week-long celebration begins with the morning of December 26th and ends with midnight on January 1st. Each day is a celebration of a different principle, and all activities during that day are in recognition of that principle. And it involves activities with family and community, like gathering for meals or to study or to serve, to be in service, and of course to celebrate. There are seven candles that represent these seven principles, and those candles are lit each day for the service. And I believe the last day, the seventh day, is the candle in the middle that gets lit, because I think they go red, green, red, green, red, green, and then black. And forgive me if I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong. Like I said, it's not a holiday I celebrate, but I do know a little bit about it because I watched my husband's family and the things that they did. And it was a very enriching, beautiful time. I mean, I enjoyed it, and definitely the community and the sharing and the richness of the tradition.
Lynn Williams and Reverend Cindy Palos. You can go to University of Sedona or metaphysics.com for more information. Thank you for listening.